In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
And sisters, we see the cross in the center of our church. And the cross for us is always a reminder of the salvation that has come through our Lord Jesus Christ, and how important this mystery of dying and rising with Christ is to our salvation. We'll speak a little bit about the mystery of the cross using an illustration today. And it's one of many illustrations because we see the cross throughout the scriptures and throughout the writings of the fathers illumined by other images. That the cross somehow is at the very center of all other images of our salvation. For instance, we have the lamb, which shows forth Christ's innocence and meekness, the dove, his purity and the hope. Remember Noah releasing the dove. The pelican, which, for those who aren't aware, the pelican, to feed its children, will peck at itself and give the children to partake of its own blood. The peacock, and the peacock loses its beautiful feathers, and each time they come back brighter and more glorious than before, symbol of the resurrection. The mythical creature, the phoenix, which rises from its own ashes, and so on. There are many images that are given to us that revolve around the central image of our salvation, which is the cross. The image we'll speak about today is that of the butterfly. Everyone knows what a butterfly is and how it passes through different stages. Does anyone know how many stages there are in the life of the butterfly? I told you this morning. You guys can't answer this question. How many stages in the life of the butterfly? Think back to our science classes. Four stages. What are the stages? In the egg. That's right. The caterpillar. Absolutely. This is phenomenal. That's the one I think people are going to get. Absolutely. That's right. And the butterfly. That's right. Very well done. Four stages. Four stages. The egg, the caterpillar, the pupa, and the adult or fully mature butterfly. Why mention this? Why mention this? Because the butterfly is the image of the Christian. Each and every one of us go through a change. A change to become what we are meant to be. Who we are meant to be. And this happens in an ongoing process of our life, in our relationship with God. We go through these stages and through these changes. You know, I want to share with you a reflection from Father Stephen Howley, who's the director of Orthodox Christian Prison Ministry. And he speaks to us about the butterfly and one aspect of the butterfly's transformation that people might not be aware of. He writes, he says, "One day, a small opening appeared on a cocoon. A man sat and watched for several hours as the butterfly struggled to force its body through that little hole. Then it seemed to stop making any progress. It appears it has gotten as far as it could, and it could go no further. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily. But it had a swollen body and small, shriveled wings. The man continued to watch the butterfly, expecting that at any moment the wings would enlarge and the body would contract. But neither happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of its life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled wings. It was never able to fly. What the man, in his kindness and haste, did not understand was that the butterfly, by God's plan, needed to struggle through the tiny opening. It's in the struggle that the fluid is forced from the butterfly's body into the wings, making it ready for flight." Then he says, "Sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our life. If God allowed us to go through life without any obstacles, it might indeed cripple us. We would not be as strong as we could be. We could not fly. The old adage is so very true that God is more interested in our spiritual growth and formation than he is with our comfort. Very powerful illustration that Father Stephen brings forward to us. You know, this idea of change and transformation is at the very heart of what it means to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. And this is such a radical change and transformation, just like we see with the butterfly that goes from the caterpillar to a beautiful creature. That's the same metamorphosis and same change that has to take place with each and every one of us. And this change we can see in two ways. We can see it with regard to the body, and we can see it with regard to the soul. First, the body. If we consider our biological life, how many stages do we have? And we're talking scientifically, not politically. How many stages do we have in our life, biologically? What's the first one? In the womb, right? What's the second one? Follows right after that. Outside of the womb, right? What's the third? Now think about the butterfly. I didn't hear what you said, but I'm going to pretend you said the tomb. That is actually the third stage. The third stage, the tomb. We don't think about this, but the tomb is the third stage. And what is the fourth? Resurrection. Right? What does St. Paul tell us about the resurrection of the dead and the human body? He says, the body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And we enter into this change and this transformation through death. We pass through death. This is part of the possible mystery that we experience with our bodies. Now, how about with our souls? This is a little bit harder. But there are four stages there too. The first stage is when we are formed by our family. That it's our family that instructs the soul first. Right? Our mother, our father, our siblings, our aunts, our uncles, our family. Our soul is nourished first by the family. And then what happens? When we reach 18 or 21 or at some point, now it's a little bit later than that, but we move out and we're on our own. What is it that affects our souls? But the world. We enter into the world. And the world informs our souls, and by that informing the soul, forms the soul. What would be the next stage? We're talking about the Christian. It would be entrance into the church. We enter into the church. And in the church, which is like a cocoon, we undergo change, transformation. And how much is it? So much so that that which walked through the doors for the first time has to die. Right? If we want to be eligible for the resurrection, we have to first be dead, right? And that happens physically and it happens spiritually. When we come into the church, we put to death the old man, the old Adam. That fallenness and that brokenness, that old man is put to death. And what does this mean very practically for us? It means when we come in to the church, we might have in our minds our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own opinions. What does the church tell us to do with those? It's football season. Drop it like a football and punt it. Get rid of those things, right? Because what is given to us is the mind of Christ through the mind of the church. We come to know the true God. How about in our hearts? Everyone who walks into the doors of the church for the first time comes with something in their heart that has to be gotten rid of. Our passions, our lusts, our fallen desires, our anger, our resentment, our hatred, whatever it is in our hearts that is part of the old man, we have to get rid of it. It has to be put to death. And what is reborn in the heart? Through the church. But authentic, genuine love for God and neighbor. How about our wills? When we come through the doors of the church, we all have our own plans and agendas. We might feel very strong about what we should be doing with our life. Well, what does the church tell us to do? Put that to death too. And adopt a new will for your life. To say with Christ, not my will be done, but thy will be done. To perform the will of God. And then what happens when we go through this maturation process? When we make that struggle to make it through that cocoon, then we experience life as it should be. Then we can ascend off of this earth and go to heaven. We have the wings of grace. You know, when the Lord came to this earth, he came and he saw many caterpillars. And he himself revealed what it is to be a human being. The perfect God became the perfect man. And we saw the one butterfly. And this image of Christ reawakened within us our natural destiny to be holy, to be united to God, to ascend above this earth and to go to heaven, to be mature people. How mature? To the fullness of the stature of Christ. In him we saw the one that we are to become. But what happens if we're not interested in becoming Christ-like? And this is the situation that the world finds itself in, the Christian world. Everyone in Christianity knows we must become Christ-like. But what happens when we don't want to? What is our alternative? If we don't want to die to the old ways and put on the new man, how can we become Christ-like? And I'll tell you the answer to that. You take a butterfly and you cut off its wings, it looks a lot more like a caterpillar, doesn't it? If you take something that flies to the heights of heaven and you drag it down to the earth, it crawls like each and every one of us. Online, there was an article that I read this week, and it spoke to us about the quote-unquote counterfeit Jesus. The counterfeit Jesus. And it listed 10 different types, and there are more than 10. The prosperity Jesus, the legalist Jesus, the left-wing Jesus, the BFF Jesus. What's BFF?
Best friend forever,
best friend forever Jesus. The guru Jesus, like one of the other spiritual teachers. The post-church Jesus, the ethnic Jesus, the socialist Jesus, the capitalist Jesus, etc. The caterpillar Jesus. Right? This is not the way to become Christ-like, to make him like us. This is not what salvation is all about. This is not what the cross tells us. The Lord says to us, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. And then he says to us, assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here today who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come with power. What is he talking about but the resurrection of the soul before the resurrection of the body? This is what our Christian life is all about. The resurrection of the body will come for absolutely everybody. But the resurrection of the soul only comes for those who are willing to undergo that transformation. Now sometimes people say, wrongly so, but people say the church needs to stop trying to change people and needs to start loving people more. Have you ever heard that? That's a common mentality today. That we just need to love people and not change them. What that is saying is that we need to leave people as they are, as unfulfilled human beings, as caterpillars, if we love them. What the Lord says is just the opposite. If we love ourselves, if we love our neighbors, if we love the world, we will struggle for that transformation, that metamorphosis, that change. If we love the world, we'll struggle to change the world. This is the very mission of the church, to change the world by the love and truth of Jesus Christ. I want to close, brothers and sisters, with the words of St. Nikolai Velimirovich, one of the American saints. He speaks to us about Jesus Christ as the resurrection. Here's what he says. Our Lord is not only the resurrection of the body, but also the resurrection of the soul. During his life on earth, he resurrected only a few human bodies, but countless souls, to demonstrate that the resurrection of the soul is much more important than the resurrection of the body. Almost all human souls were dead when he came into this world, and he resurrected countless souls by his power, and endued them with his own life. Both the Jews and the pagans were dead in soul, and he enlivened the one and the other. My brethren, he says to us, let us lay aside all concern for the resurrection of our bodies, and let us strive while we still have the time for the resurrection of our souls. For if our souls do not resurrect and are not enlivened by Christ while still on earth, let us not expect any joy from the resurrection of our bodies on the day of judgment, for it will be the day of wrath. Because then our bodies, though they rise, will hold within them our dead souls unto eternal torment. O Lord Jesus Christ, our only resurrection and life, help us by thy power and thy mercy, that we may be resurrected and enlivened by thee unto salvation and eternal life. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.